This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Talking a little Denver Broncos now with host of Broncos Country Tonight, Benjamin Albright. Benjamin, my friend, great to catch up with you. Ready to follow this Broncos season all year long with you, my friend. First off, the pressing question, the ankle update. How's it doing? How's it looking? Is it okay? Your ankle is what I'm asking about, Benjamin.
Right, Brady. Obviously, yes, my ankles are glorious.
Good.
You know, they continue to be toned and defined. And
perfect.
You're talking about Bo Nix, I assume.
Secondary,
Yeah, you know, if we got time. Bo looks all right out there. He's the ankle looks fine. You wouldn't know if you didn't know. I think he's pretty much, I would say, the optimal recovery that you would hope for at this point. Looks pretty smooth out there, and you wouldn't know if the ankle was hurt if you didn't already know it was hurt.
All right, so what's anything standing out in particular to you these first couple of days into training camp, Benjamin?
How blisteringly hot it is.
Yeah, it's dumb.
The offense looks smooth, man. The offense looks smooth. Jalen Waddle is everything as advertised. Evan Engram has been getting a lot of work in there, and I think a lot of people were disappointed with the production of Evan Engram last year, but he is he's a feature this year, and so it looks the Waddle and Engram things, man. They look like it's kind of bringing this offense all the way together, kind of tying it up in a nice bow, and emphasis on the homonym there, and then I think. I think this offense is finally in a position to carry its own water. It doesn't need to be carried by the defense this year.
So are you already seeing kind of the Davis Webb effect take hold, or is it far too soon for that?
I would say that it's a little bit too soon, but you can certainly see some different things. I mean, like I said, the Engram featuring thing. Engram is Davis Webb's boy. They were teammates back in New York for a season, and part of the reason he's here. I would suggest that there are some things that are different in the way that Davis Webb does them in terms of what they call on offense, and I'm kind of excited about that, excited for people to see that. I think the offense is a little newer, if that makes sense. It maybe was a little archaic under Sean with some concepts that were a little old. This is still very much a Sean Payton type offense, a lot of 11 personnel, three wide receivers, that kind of stuff. But I do think that there's some tweaks in here that Davis Webb's got the offense playing with a little bit of tempo. He's getting that tight end on the deep over, taking advantage of Engram's ability. And so I think there are some things that they're doing that freshen it up.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Do you think, you and I talked about this so much last season and the frustration that we had. I think a lot of Broncos fans had that with Sean Payton and the lack of a commitment to the run game. Is that something that you, I don't know, again, if you get a feel for that already, but I think that's what we'd like to see. Not just J.K. Dobbins, but, more R.J. Harvey, more Jonah Coleman maybe getting some real chances here. Do you think that there's going to be that real emphasis on the rushing attack?
Well, they're practicing it. The question is whether or not they'll implement that in the game. It was always interesting last year when the quotes on that from Sean Payton would be the same week to week, where it was, yeah, we got to do more of that. I'm like, well, yeah, but aren't you the guy? Like, aren't you the guy that determines that? I think they're certainly practicing that. They are practicing a commitment to the ground game. The question is whether they will implement that in game and whether they have the patience to stick with that. And that is the ultimate question.
Yeah. And again, I think, and that's the tough part too, because you look at J.K. Dobbins, what he did before he got hurt, he was awesome. Some might say, he was their best, most consistent offensive player last season. But at the same token, I want to see them run the ball more. I think you want to see them run the ball more. But you don't want to run J.K. Dobbins, to the ground either. You don't want to grind him every single week. But you want to see other guys step up, whether that's R.J. Harvey being able to tote the rock a little bit more, or maybe an emergence of Jonah Coleman.
Yeah, and Coleman certainly looks pretty good out here. Jaquan McMillan's still sticking around there as well. Don't forget about him. So there's additional bodies to kind of look at with this process, and that'll shake itself out a little bit. You do want to see more of the ground game, but JK was the only one that was consistent last year, and so it's going to take R.J. Harvey either taking a big step forward as a running back. He was great as a pass catcher, but as a running back, he's going to have to take a step forward. We're only three unpadded practices in, so a little bit hyperbolic to say that somebody he's there or not there yet. But that's one of those things you'll be keeping your eye on this, you know, during training camp.
Benjamin, one of the reasons I love having you on, not just because of the great ankles and the great ankle coverage, but you can kind of give us the real story. I'm seeing a bunch of chatter about Jahdae Barron and his role on this team. I'm seeing reports anywhere from he's not looking great so far to he's going to be competing for with Riley Moss even. What's the real situation surrounding Jahdae Barron?
Well, two things could be true at the same time. I would suggest that he is going to be competing with Riley Moss and Jaquan, McMillian, more Riley Moss than McMillian. But they'll move him around a little bit. You know, they want to try him out at a few different things. And this year for him is really going to be a let's see what we've got with him kind of thing. Last year was about him learning, you know, everything. Vance Joseph famously averse to playing rookies. You know, so it was about him absorbing the defense. Now it's about implementing that knowledge and seeing where he fits in this defense and then going from there. The Broncos, of course, are going to have some free agents on the defensive side after this year. Riley Moss, Jaquan McMillian, both guys in contract years. Brennan Jones, you know, a guy couldn't be, you know, might not be back. So you've got some positions along that secondary you're looking at and said, okay, we got to figure out if this guy is a fit in one of those spots or if we need to bring one of these other guys back, that kind of stuff, because we're going to have to save money when we put Bo Nix's eventual $60+ million a year extension in front of him. And so that's one of those things. I don't think that he's looked bad. I just think that he's a guy that's still learning. And, you know, like I said, we're three practices, unpadded practices in. Got to give that a little bit more time before we're making definitive statements on that.
Ben, I wanted to get your take, too, on and your thoughts, I suppose, on the Jonathan Cooper situation. Obviously, there seems like there's half the people that aren't thrilled that he's out there. The other half is kind of like innocent until proven guilty. This is, I kind of look at it as like, man, you're kind of in between a rock and a hard place here. If you say stay away, obviously he's losing time. Maybe, you know, if he's found innocent of everything, his trust factor in you goes away. But at the end of the day, these are very serious, a very serious investigation going on, court case, all that with Cooper. Where do you come out on the Jonathan Cooper topic?
Well, I mean, I know a bit about the situation, so I'll say this. It's an unfortunate series of events between two people who were heated in an emotional situation. At the end of the day, what this really boils down to is two people wrestling over a cell phone. You know, and it's kind of gotten overblown. Some people, somebody leaked part of the post's medical report, and they misinterpreted what that said. There's a nurse in there saying that, you know, all these things are within the range of outcomes, and people took it as literal, like this is what happened. And so, you know, it's sort of frustrating. You know, at the end of the day, it's two people who had a domestic situation that just kind of, you know, they're emotional and spiraled, you know, and you hope that both of them get their lives right first as people, right? And then go from there. As far as the rest of it goes, I mean, the Broncos are doing what the NFL CBA mandates now, which is innocent until proven guilty. You know, we're going to continue to let him out there and do all this kind of stuff, monitor the situation, try to get help as much as possible and go from there. And so that's where they're at on that.
Yeah, very interesting. And again, glad you can come in here and kind of clear some of that up for us, because I think the people looked at that forensic nurse or whatnot and saw some of her findings and maybe, and I even did this too, you kind of misconstrued some of that. And yeah. It sounds like the Broncos certainly had a lot of that information, which is obviously what led them to say, okay, let's get him out to practice. Let's get him out to camp.
Yeah, and I think there's something to, you know, being a support system and getting you back to work and all that kind of stuff. People can make mistakes, you know. I think that there's a great line from, Ted Lasso or whatever, that I hope that either all of us or none of us are judged by, not by our weakest moments, but by the strength we show if and when we're ever given a second chance. And, I'm a big guy who believes in second chances. I don't believe in third chances, but I do believe in second chances.
And you're probably going to be watching season 4 coming up for Ted Lasso, by the way, since you mentioned it. And not that you don't have much to do, Benjamin, but it's coming.
Yeah, me who does nothing all the time is sitting in front of my television waiting for that to drop, to be honest with you.
It's good. Did you watch the first 3 seasons? Have you seen it?
Oh yeah, all through? I've seen that probably a dozen times.
It's great.
I love that. Love that show.
It's an amazing show. My wife and I love that. We're looking forward to it. Benjamin, my friend, looking forward to our next conversation. Maybe we'll have a bit more too with a few more days under our belt for Broncos Camp 2026. As always, appreciate your time, my friend.
Appreciate yours, sir, and my ankles are at your disposal.
Good, because I'll be asking about them next week. Take care of them, man.
All right, brother.
Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Wow, that's kind of some interesting stuff. We'll unpack that on the other side. 12:49 the time. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Preps football broadcast will sound a little different this season. Hear Jerry Schammel, Bruce Dick, and the studio man Kyle Johnson every Friday night this football season. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one, member FDIC.